It doesn't make it true or not true, because it is. Jesus Christ is living. Jesus Christ was God-breathed. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost, and He came to earth to live a life so that He could die for us. God, I pray that every heart in this room would behold the truth, would behold the reality that truth came to this earth. And God, I pray that, you know, whatever we came in with, whatever, there's lots of things that happen on Christmas Eve and lots of memories, lots of things going on. But as we take this hour and a half, that Lord, You would just come in. Holy Ghost, to every heart, that every heart and every wall that we've placed around our heart would just break down. And that Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy, God, would just come into every heart and melt everything that we have put before You that has kept You from coming in. I just pray, God, that You would dissolve that, even in this hour, that for even an hour, we could behold the glory of God, that we could behold Jesus. God, I thank You that Your presence is in this house. What an honor to come and worship You. What an honor to come and behold the King. Hallelujah. God, we just praise You and we prepare our hearts as we continue through the service. We just prepare, God, and we just take our focus and attention and put it on You. We just put it on You. God, I pray, God, that I know that this is time that we reflect. We reflect back on what was, and even loved ones that aren't with us that we wish they were. But God, I thank You that even You, Father, looked back and said it was good. When You sent Jesus to this earth, You knew He had to die, but yet You said it was good. And whatever we don't understand and whatever we can't figure out, I just pray, God, that we would look back and say that it was good. As crazy as that sounds, because God is a redeemer. He's a redeemer of the past. He's a redeemer of the now. And He's a redeemer of the future. Hallelujah. So God, we just behold You and we thank You, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, if nothing else, Christmas is certainly a season of surprises, isn't it? And it is many other things, by the way. Think back for a moment over the Christmases past that you've experienced, the surprises you may have received as a child. Often it's in the form of a gift, and I realize that. Sometimes it's a surprise baby's on the way. Some parents like to surprise the entire family with that. I was thinking here just moments ago, I look back, I remember such surprises as a very small lad of a Tonka truck. I think they still make those. It was about this, actually, it was big enough for me to sit in. I think I was 4, and I just still remember that. It was bright yellow. It was beautiful. I remember a surprise of a bicycle. One year, I remember a surprise of a very cool tape recorder, reel to reel. Can you believe it? Reel to reel. I mean, they're not, young people, those are actually real. No pun intended. Those are real things. But Christmas is a time of surprises. I took my guitar to have it restrung yesterday, thinking that would really, it was overdue. But he told me, make sure you play that because it can go out of tune easily. We experienced that during practice, and I experienced that during the session. I apologize to your eardrums. I'm sorry. I can't take it back. I can't undo that. But in fact, I shut my sound off. I can shut it off and tune it. I put my electronic tuner on there, and I started playing the G chord, and it came up with something. I don't even think it recognized what it was. So I had some real problems. But we apologize. Again, we were trying to accomplish much before the service. But one more Christmas surprise. But I really want to just talk just for a couple minutes about your journey and about journeys of the Christmas season. The passages we just read were probably very familiar to most, if not all of you. But they really all talk about a journey, if you stop to think about it for a second. First, let's just start with Mary and Joseph. Put the passages together in your mind, and remember, they were up in Nazareth. Mary had received a visitation from an angel, as did Joseph sometime later, that even though she was engaged, she was not yet married. She was going to be received a child by the Holy Spirit. It was certainly striking news to her. And Joseph as well. In fact, you remember what we read. Joseph was ready to divorce her because even though they were engaged in the Jewish culture, arrangements had been made, documents had been signed, property had been deeded over, and so it required a divorce at that stage. He was going to put her away privately when an angel appeared to him. But both of them would not only listen to the word of the Lord, but they would make their journey by the divine providence of God from that little village of Nazareth up north, would be west of the Sea of Galilee, and they traveled south to the city of, or town, I should say, of Bethlehem, because it was required for them to undergo the census, and Joseph was of the house of David. And they made their journey there. We talked in the past weeks in this house about the angel when he appeared to Mary saying, "You are a favored one." Mm. And we talked about what favor can look like in this life. I don't know where you're at on your journey. Everybody is unique as we are individual, as God has made us unique. The Bible says that each one of you in this house have been fearfully and wonderfully made by the hand of your Creator. Amen? There's no two like you on the face of this earth. It's amazing. It's like snowflakes. There are no two that are the same. But it was the favor of the Lord, yet when Mary received that news, she realized that she would probably be an outcast. And in fact, you study the scriptures, examine them carefully. She was. She was pregnant with child out of wedlock by the Holy Spirit. She nearly, again, lost her husband-to-be, Joseph, but God brought him around. And I suspect that many other people during their life would have had that same suspicion of them. And here's this Mary receiving of the favor of the Lord that would all culminate at the age of 30 or 32 years of age. The son of hers that was given to her by the Holy Spirit would be murdered by the Roman government. But it was the favor of the Lord. Why? Because the tale was not done. Amen? The tale did not end on the cross. It did not That's end right. on the tomb. It ended when he was resurrected, and he went to the right hand of the Father, and he is seated there. He has now sent the Holy Spirit to empower this church. But they made their journey to Bethlehem during that season. Also, as we read not long ago, was the story of the shepherds, that they were out in the field tending their flocks by night. And they received a revelation when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, Amen. Which shall be to," say it, church,
all people.
All people.
Hallelujah.
2018, you are seated in this church. It's to you. It's to me. It's to all mankind that has ever lived, that lives today and will ever live.
Amen.
Until Christ returns. It shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. And suddenly a holy heavenly host joined them, and they were crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men."
Amen.
And so they went from their fields, and they now went on their journey, and they journeyed to Bethlehem. Then we have the wise men. Some would say they probably ventured out from Babylon. They had studied the wise writings of the day, and they had studied certainly the scripture, the book of Numbers, that talked about the great star that would rise in Jacob. It would be a ruler, a king would be born. And they saw that and they made their journey towards, and they went to the capital, Jerusalem, which the natural man, the natural mind would expect to find the king in the capital. But all they found was Herod. They found a Herod who was quite afraid of a king that was not of his lineage. So they said, go find this child. And they brought the wise men and the scribes. Where is the child to be born? And then they said, Bethlehem. And so now the wise men finished their journey. They went from Jerusalem, the short distance of probably 5 or 6 miles, to the village of Bethlehem. And it says the star led them. They rejoiced when the star reappeared and now brought them to the town of Bethlehem. And they said that they entered in. And I just want to pause there for just a moment, because there's so many times when we can understand about God and we can hear about God. We can hear that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and we celebrate that, especially this time of year. But I must say that many people never take the time to enter in. They stand outside. I've come. I've heard the word of the Lord. I've heard about Jesus. But the wise men, they entered in. They entered in and they bowed down and worshiped these leaders of a court of a mighty nation. They were probably sent there, but they bowed down and worshiped this baby. Why? He was a king.
Amen.
They saw the star in the sky. They knew the prophetic writings. They somehow knew the word of God. A king had been born. And they bowed down, and they not only worshipped, but they sacrificed gold and frankincense and myrrh. They laid it at the mother's feet and at the child's feet. And it says when they left, they'd been warned in a dream, and they departed a different direction. And my heart and my hope of hope, every one of you this Christmas season, and even during this Christmas service, that you will return to your homes this evening a different way, touched by the Holy Spirit, hearing the truth of God's word. Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, but one thing we often forget about, baby Jesus made his way to Bethlehem as well. You would say he came in the womb of Mary up from Nazareth. So true. But I want to add a scripture that will help you maybe get a better understanding and to comprehend the majesty of this birth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Apostle Paul writes about Jesus Christ, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man." Coming in the likeness of man. He was on majesty. God himself became God in the flesh so he could redeem mankind. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It's well said, Christ could not take our place until he took on our condition. And so God decided, I'm going to become one of them. They've gone off track. Their forefather Adam and their foremother Eve has set in motion a series of events. It's a contamination in their DNA, and it needs salvation. And God, the perfect Son of God, comes down to earth, sinless, the spotless Lamb, and says, I'll give my life for that condition, that they can be redeemed as well and become part of the royal priesthood for eternity. Christ was on a journey as well. His journey began in heaven. It ended in heaven. But in the meantime, he came into the womb of Mary. He spent time in a filthy, cold manger. He walked the walk that many of us, if not all of us, have walked on this earth, yet without sin. He was persecuted by the religious leaders, but he was adored by the common folks who saw the power and the majesty, and they recognized him as the Messiah. And for that, he was crucified on a cruel cross and died a cruel death. The tomb could not contain him. Death could not hold him. Amen?
Amen.
And so he came and rose. God rose him up on the third day. And now he sits on high in majesty. Those are the journeys. And I stop with this last journey. It's us. It's us. We've talked about Mary and Joseph. We've talked about the wise men, or the magi as they're often called. We've talked about the shepherds. We've talked about Jesus Christ leaving his throne and coming down. to save mankind, but I talk about us because we're on a journey too. I love to travel. If you're from this house, you know that I love to take trips. I love to travel. I can get in a bus. I can get in a train. I can get in an automobile. I can get in an aircraft. It doesn't matter. I love to see different places. But my journey that I'm talking about is not those vacation trips or ministry trips, which will soon be taking place as we head to Africa. I'm talking about my spiritual journey and your spiritual journey. Because whether you take the time to recognize it or not, every one of us is on a spiritual journey. We just left the bedside of Cheryl's aunt. It's Norma's mother. She's at death's door. Her name is Ginger. Please pray for her during this time that of a parent passing. Ginger is nearly 90 years of age, I believe. She's over 90, and she's now, in a sense, acquiesced that this is where this life is taking her. The surest thing about our mortality is there's an eternity. And the frailty of life. And there's no guarantee of the 70 as the scripture writes, the 70 years. We know that. But I want to encourage every one of us because we're on a journey. And my question to every one of you is this: what is your relationship with this baby that's been born in Bethlehem? Because at the end of the day, at the end of the life, when we're on death's door, as my wife's aunt is this very night, the question will be, what's your relationship with God? Have you been redeemed by the baby born in the manger? Amen. The one, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who came from up above, born as a child to redeem mankind. Amen. Isn't that a great story? What a gift. What a gift. You talk about a gift. I mean, it's just an amazing gift. God is so good to us. So would you please just stand? We're going to read a scripture in just a moment and sing again. Please stand. God, we thank you, Father, for the precious gift of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Father, for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the gift, dear God. We thank you for surprises. We thank you for family, loved ones who gather around us, especially this time. And God, right now, I pray for a blessing of peace on everyone that's here and the families they represent in this season, dear God. If there's financial struggles, if there's emotional struggles, if there's relationship struggles, if there's health struggles, dear God, I'm asking that you'll send the peace that passes all understanding to those homes. I pray that the ones that are in here tonight will be carriers of your presence as they leave this house tonight. And God, we thank you, Father. You are indeed precious to us. You are indeed the light of the world. And for this, we thank you and praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Sherry.
I'm going to be reading in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're all on a journey. As Pastor Don said, we're all on a journey. And there are many times along that road and that journey that we have the opportunity. We have choices. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, there are choices every day, and they take you to a certain place. Sometimes we hit difficulty. We have a choice. What do we believe when we come into those situations, and what power do we have to overcome it? It says that the darkness could not overcome the light. But when we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we have the light of the world. We have the true light, the light of men. And it's an awesome opportunity to walk in grace and truth with the light of God in our hearts, that no matter what we see, no matter what we encounter, we can hit that head on and say, I believe in Jesus. I have the truth. Sometimes that sounds so cliche, but I'm telling you, to know Him, to have encountered the living God, to behold His glory, you are forever changed. You are never the same again. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, something happens. The old passes away and the new has come. Our choices now, we have different answers. We have a decision, we have a choice that we can either go with God and walk in the path of righteousness, or we can return to that darkness. But it would be my prayer and my hope tonight that anyone that doesn't know the Lord, or maybe have strayed away from the Lord, would step back into the light and step back on that path of righteousness. There is nothing better than to face everything in your life with the power to overcome. And there isn't one person in this room tonight that hasn't faced something that they have to overcome. And there's a place that you can be in that you know, no matter what it is, you can overcome it. There is a place you can walk in that hope, knowing whatever you face, you can overcome. But you got to let God have His way. That's where the pain comes in. That's where the dying to self comes in. That's where the choice comes in to say, am I going to stay on that journey, following after Jesus and giving all that I have? Or am I going to turn back into darkness and take my life into my own hands? I can tell you there is nothing better than to behold that light, to live in the light, in every part of your whole being in that light. And once you've beheld that, you can never go back. Never go back. So in a moment, we're gonna light the candles. And you know, it's really cool because when you light one candle, you have a little bit of light. But then when all the candles are lit in the room, the whole room lights up. And the Lord was just speaking to me about, you know, when one of you gets a hold of me, or when I get a hold of one of you, that's really awesome. But when all of you get a hold of me, that's something very powerful, and the light increases. See, God's calling us in this hour to step up and step out into the truth. Everyone in here knows that things are different now. Even at a national level, things are just different. Things are kind of rearing up. It's time for the people of God to take their place. It's time for the people of God to go deep and take a hold of all that He is in us. To let that light shine through us. It doesn't matter whatever's going on around you. It makes no difference what's going on inside of you. It's between you and Him. So before we light our candles, I'm going to pray. God, I just pray that Your power get a hold of every person in a new and fresh way in this room. I pray, God, tonight that decisions will be made, that God, whatever it takes, I'm going to lay down my life for You. Whatever it takes, God, that every part of me, I want to die to self and take a hold of all that You have for me. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it can't produce the fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Ghost comes through dying to self and living unto God. And can I tell you, the pain that you go through to live for the Lord is way far more worth it than any pain you would suffer that would be apart from His will. So God, I just bless this house, and I bless every person in this house to lay a hold of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, in a new and fresh way right now in Jesus' name. It says in my Bible that all three of them take up their abode inside of me. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what the Word says. And I think that's really cool that we're set apart to be the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So I pray that as your candles are lit, that you would just lift up everything in your heart to the Lord. And that light of God would become the light in your heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen.